Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi, and welcome back to TechNet Radio. We're getting back to work here, as I'm sure you are, after a nice long Labor Day weekend. What we're talking about this month on TechNet Radio is scripting. Now, it's really difficult, really, to get deep into the topic of scripting. In fact, I just ran a search right now on MSN, and scripting comes up with over 9.5 million results when you just enter that as your keyword. So from there, a lot of people, you know, have questions about it, from the novice beginner user all the way up to an expert. And what we'd really want to do is tickle that expert curiosity of yours today. So what we're going to do is talk with folks from PowerShell. PowerShell used to be known as Monad. That was the top secret name for it. And we're going to talk about what PowerShell does and how you can use it and why it's important, particularly if you're an administrator, how it's going to help you with some different scripting technologies. Kevin Remdy spoke with the people who are in the know about Monad. So let's catch up with him on TechNet Radio.
Hello again, this is Kevin. I'm here at Tech Ready, and I've just attended a very interesting session, a very useful session on Exchange Server, and particularly Exchange Server 2007, Scripting and Automation. And I'm sitting here with Vivek Sharma and Mihai Jalabinu. And why don't you each tell me a little bit about what your role is at Microsoft.
I'm a program manager in the Exchange team working on the system management components. And basically, my role is to bring together the scripting and command line interfaces using PowerShell in Exchange 2007. This has been a pretty big investment, and so it required us to go design, kind of redesign everything that we do and really think about how admins use our system. So that's really been my role in this release.
Okay, yeah, that was Vivek. Mihai, tell me a little about what you do here.
I'm a dev lead in the same team as Vivek. My team deals with the command line infrastructure and setup and migration tools. The command line infrastructure part deals with the support that we need to provide our team for integrating with PowerShell. It's pretty much what you've seen today. All this infrastructure work is what we worked on for the last 2 years.
Okay, great. Now, just for our listeners, why don't you give me a good, real quick definition of what PowerShell is?
PowerShell is a .NET-based scripting technology, and what I mean by .NET-based is it's not that you're, you know, doing a lot of nerdy programming stuff. What it's really about is admin-oriented, it's task-oriented. So when you think about doing operations, for example, you want to get a list of all your mailboxes in your system, well, what you would type in is get mailbox. Everything is named intuitively. Everything is built towards providing the greatest experience for the administrator. Beyond that, the reason why I mentioned .NET is everything that happens in Monad is happening using structured data. So you don't have the usual kind of hiccups that you encounter with other shells where you have to do a lot of text parsing, you have to do a lot of manipulation of the data manually. And, you know, some people have gotten to be real experts using regular expressions and things, but most of our admins, they just want to type in get mailbox, set mailbox, change this quota. And so we really have to design this around admin-oriented facilities. And so that's really what PowerShell is about. It's a task-oriented, structured data shell.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's one of the concerns I'm sure a lot of them have is, you know, it's going to be difficult. I mean, they're not programmers. Maybe they came from programming backgrounds, a lot of them did, but, you know, they don't want to have to learn this scripting, and they're afraid of that.
I wanted to add to what Vivek said. He kind of gave you the dev answer to that question. The PM answer to that question would be PowerShell is a brand new shell technology that leverages everything that .NET has in new and powerful ways, but also supports and extends everything that you can do today in command.exe, which means if you're new to PowerShell, you can still do everything that you did in command.exe, but enrich it in better ways.
Okay, yeah. So you guys are taking each other's answers. That's good. I like that. All right. Now, is this a technology that's just for Exchange, or is this going to be something that is going to be used other places?
Well, PowerShell actually ships out of band with Exchange and Windows, which means it's available to downstream OSs like Windows 2003 and XP. This was actually one of the requirements for us because Exchange Administrative Console can be run on XP and Windows 2003. And of course, PowerShell will also work on Vista. So it works against a variety of different platforms. And that's super important because I know many other teams are adopting the platform as well. So PowerShell by itself, if you download it, it becomes the kind of command.exe replacement. You can use it to go do your normal administrative activities. But it's not really doing anything particularly for one product. However, once more and more teams start adopting it, for example, MOM2007 integrates PowerShell beautifully in their administrative scheme. Exchange2007 does the same thing. As more and more teams come together, you have this great community of commandless working together, these tools, these tasks working together. And so we're seeing definitely more and more teams adopting the platform. Right now it's available to all of our consumers free on the web, so they can download and play with it immediately.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. I know that a lot of the confusion came with the fact that it's really becoming available publicly with a product the first time with Exchange, so everybody associates it with Exchange, but it's really a separate and very powerful interface. I would love for you to tell the story that you told briefly during the session about the novice user versus the experienced user.
Yeah. So this is actually one of the, I laughed about this for weeks because when we started down this project, we walked in with the same assumptions that everybody else has. The assumptions being that command shell or, scripting is hard technology, that it's for advanced users. And what we discovered quickly was if we think about our novice users first, they actually walk away with a greater benefit than anybody else. And the story that I have behind that is we did a usability study where we had a group of mixed admins. We had some Exchange admins who were they advertised themselves as VBScript experts and Perl experts. Now, Perl is this great scripting technology, very nerdy, and it requires some training in order to get used to. So this guy was a Perl expert. He came in, and the task that was given to him was set a mailbox to have a quota to be, like 200 megabytes, right? And so, he got to the point of setting. He figured out that set mailbox was the thing that you use because that's very intuitive. But once he got to the quota property, he opened up calc.exe, and he started figuring out how many bytes are in a megabyte, how many, and he kept getting it just not quite right, right? That's whatever he put in was not quite right. And so he's kind of frustrated by it. On the other hand, the novice user who had advertised themselves as a GUI user had never really used any of these scripting technologies. We gave them the task. They said, set mailbox dash quota 200 megabytes, MB, and it just worked, right? And immediately, and within, a couple of, 10, 15 seconds, they were up and running versus the advanced user who was thinking in terms of this being, their mindset was this was going to be hard, that this is going to be just like all the other things that I know, and so therefore I have to do the same kind of hard work in order to use it. So if you get rid of that mindset and you start thinking about things as an admin, you start picking up the technology much, much faster.
Okay, yeah. Getting back to the idea that the PowerShell and is really just a separate component on which you've added these features for the sake of manipulating and working with Exchange, you hear the word commandlet quite a bit. Mihai, you want to tell us a little bit more about what a commandlet is?
Yes, the commandlet is the unit of execution in PowerShell. And contrary to what you might think the first time you hear about it, it's not an executable. It's just a .NET class, which means it's very easy to instantiate. It's very fast in execution. It's unlike an exe in traditional shells. It doesn't take that much time to start up. It's a lightweight component that you can run to achieve a goal.
Okay, yeah, great.
And just to add to that is anybody can write commandlets, which is one of the great things about PowerShell. We want people to write scripts, right, obviously. And you can actually represent commandlets as scripts as well. Monad has provided the technology that even if you don't know .NET, C#, and you know the command line, the scripting language, Monad scripting language, well, you can write a commandlet in script as well, right? So it allows anybody to participate in this great command line world, participate in this rich new interface.
Okay. Getting back to how PowerShell works with Exchange, what can't I do, and this is a question a lot of people are going to have, what can't I do with the shell that I have to do in the GUI?
There is nothing that you can do in the GUI that you cannot do in the shell. We've made this a very explicit goal from the very beginning, and to achieve that and make sure that's the case, we built the GUI on top of the commandlets, the same commandlets that are used in the command line. So de facto, there's nothing in the GUI that's not exposed in the command line because it's built on top of the commandlets that are used in the command line.
Definitely. I wanted people to understand that, too. It's really powerful. And you can build your own interface to Exchange, essentially.
That's exactly
the same,
right.
Same kind of deal.
Yeah, some of our partners actually are very excited about this, because what this enables them to do is to finally have like the kind of raw tools to go build their administrative interfaces. For example, they might have a new tool to go do backup. Well, they want the same way that we enumerate things in the graphical user interface, the number of storage groups, they want the same way of doing that. Well, here it is. And you can try it out before you even build your interface, because it's available in the shell.
Now, I'm a new PowerShell user, okay? I don't know where to start. What do I do? How do I start? How do I get started using the shell?
I'll take this one first, because I took the plunge a while back and I just installed PowerShell. So one of the things that I always remind people is that just because it's available out on the web, you can download it on your XP machine and start playing around with it. There's a huge community that's developed around PowerShell. There's this amazing blog maintained by one of the architects of the PowerShell team, Jeffrey Snower, which basically gives you the inside track on all the different things you can do. But you don't even have to go to that level. If you download PowerShell and install it, it's the familiar command.exe type look and feel. So if you type in dir, stands for directory, get directory, it'll work. All the different things that are built into command.exe will 100% work. So what you should do is download it and do all the stuff that you do today. Ping.exe, right? You know, you run ping to go test if your servers are up. So that's the first level of interaction that you should really get started with. You can try it out today. Beyond that, there's a book available from O'Reilly, which covers all the basics of Monad. O'Reilly's a great publisher. There's several other publishers that are coming up with books if you're into the books. On the internet, there's various blogs that are maintained. Search for PowerShell for any of the in any of the popular blog search engines. And the last thing I would mention is, if you run into trouble, there's a great news group and forum solution, both for Exchange as well as the PowerShell team, and it's staffed. You can get immediate answers directly from the developers. So if you do run into a valid bug, that's great. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. Just to add really quick, don't forget the built-in help in the command line. Just drop in the command line, type help, you'll get some answers to some of the questions.
Yeah, you walked through some of that the get help examples and some of the ability to use wildcards and different words to be able to find all the different options available to you. Those are all in there. So, yeah, excellent. Talk a little bit more about the concept of identity. You made a really big point about that during the session today, and I just wanted to see if you could explain that a little bit more.
Well, it's very simple. Each object, each configuration element in Exchange that you need to manipulate has some form of identity. And traditionally, that has been the DN or the GUID properties of the AD objects that underline our configuration objects. And we might wanted to make it significantly simpler to use this in the command line. So we took the path of supporting DNs and GUIDs, but making it so that you don't need to use them. And we did that by saying, okay, we're smart enough, or our tools are smart enough to figure out what you mean if you give us a little bit of an indication of which object you try to operate. So most of the time, if you type the name of the object in place of an identity, it will just work. It will find the object for you and do what you're asking for. If it doesn't find it, it will tell you it didn't. If it finds more than one, it will tell you it found more than one. But the whole idea and the whole goal was make it simpler to find or to name the objects or the configuration elements that you want to deal for. And from this spans multiple areas then. When you come into relationships between objects, you use the same concept of identity, the same short naming scheme, which is a URL-like scheme for objects that are embedded in each other, to traverse relationships or to restrict queries and so on.
Yeah, it really blows me away how much intelligence there is behind this little command line. You don't expect all that intelligence to be there, but it's just my next point as a new user of the PowerShell. I'm very afraid, particularly in managing Exchange, and all the things that I can do with it is very powerful, but it also could be very damaging. I mean, I might be able to accidentally, instead of moving or deleting one mailbox, I might accidentally delete all these mailboxes. What do we have in place to alleviate my fears there?
Well, first of all, let me mention, even before I go to the command line, that in order to do anything in Exchange, you have to have permissions to do it,
yeah.
Right? So an arbitrary user, just because they have access to the Exchange command line tools, does not mean that they will have access to be able to do destructive things. You have to have an Exchange administrative privilege, okay? So that everything works against basically ACLs. So just because you can run remove mailbox does not mean that you can actually remove mailboxes. You actually have to have permission to do it. But even if you have permission and you run remove mailbox, by default, every Exchange command line that's destructive is going to prompt you. It's not just going to go start running itself. So, there's this automatically stop, just like the way that it is in the graphical user interface. A pop-up comes up, and it says, or do you really want to achieve this operation? The same thing in the command line. It asks you if you really want to achieve this operation. Okay, so that's the first step. The second is we give you a bunch of these tools that let you figure out what's going to happen before running the command. You know, we want to get away from having the people just hit enter on a command to see what really happens, right? We want to get rid of that. So we give you this switch called what if, and we also have this switch in exchange called validate only on certain commandlets like move mailbox, which kind of approximate the operation. Basically, it runs the operation before actually doing anything destructive. And it works against any single commandlet out there. So you can do get mailbox star, remove mailbox, dash what if. It'll tell you all the different mailboxes we would have tried to remove.
Okay, so good tools to test what you want to do before you do it, and then other features in there that will, if you're going to do something particularly destructive, actually, you know, verify with you that you whether or not you really want to do that. Okay, very good. Now, Beta 2 just came out the other day, which is really cool. I'm glad. I'm going to go home and download that now. Is there anything new for the people that have been testing Exchange currently? Anything new in PowerShell and managing Exchange with Beta 2, or is it pretty much what we've seen before?
No, we've added, since Beta 1, or since the previous downloads, we've added a ton of new stuff. Some of this we already covered, like the fact that destructive commandlets are prompted by default is a change since then. The support for wildcards, whenever you need to use an identity, you can just use wildcards, like stars in the name, and it will approximate or refine what you're looking for. There are a ton of new commandlets available there.
One of the things I would like to mention is the what happens in UI development is naturally the graphical user interface comes towards the end of a milestone or end of a release. That's because we wait for the system to be stabilized before building the UI for it, right? So in Beta 1, you didn't have access to all these different things in the GUI. And I am one of the biggest proponents of the GUI because I believe that you learn more about a system using a GUI than you might through a command line, right? And that's natural because in the GUI, it's really easy to click around, navigate things visually. So we have a lot more stuff in the GUI. One of the cool additions that I need to mention here is in the GUI, if you run a wizard, let's say you create a new mailbox. When the wizard ends, it tells you which command line it ran underneath, right? So at that point, you can do cut and paste, and now you can start learning about the command line. So that's a really cool usability feature that we built in.
And an important change since the previous downloads is the support for management-only installations, which means you can install the admin-only tools. I believe Beta 2 only supports it on servers, not yet on XP workstations, which we will by RTM. But still, you can just install the management tools, none of the server roles, and use the commandlets against any of the other servers installed in the organization.
Okay, very good, very good. You guys have any additional thoughts on other resources that people can go to? I mean, you already mentioned some great resources and some books out there. And actually, that brings up one more question, too. I mean, I heard Monad. Monad was the original name for it. It's officially now PowerShell. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. There was a lot of heartbreak over the term change because a lot of people kind of like this ambiguous notion of Monad. But you know, we need to have a concrete name, and so the PowerShell team decided to go with PowerShell, obviously, because it kind of signified all the different things you can do with it. It's really no pun or history or fun story behind it. It's just one of the marketing changes that happens when a product goes to RTM. For Exchange resources, there's the Exchange blog. It's msexchangeteam.com. We'll be putting a lot of resources there. There's also a blog that I maintain where Mihai also posts some of his neat scripts. It's viveksharma.com/techlog. And I put basically every single thing we do in every demo, I go paste on there, and we've gotten great feedback through that site. In fact, people were telling me, don't paste too much stuff, because we like some of the stuff to be, you know, just for us. But I believe in having all the stuff available to the public, and so you can visit that blog site for more details. So that's Exchange-related stuff. Start with the Exchange Team blog. Lots of links there to other additional information. And there's TechNet forums, which are new to us in Exchange 2007. And the links are, again, on the MS Exchange Team blog site.
Do you have any others that you might want to add, Mihai? Or he's pretty much covered it?
Yeah, my only advice is just install the beta and try it out. Drop in the command line and try it out, and it's going to be fun, and you'll love it.
All right, Vivek Sharma and Mihai Jalobanu, thank you guys very much. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kevin Remde here on TechNet Radio. By the way, RC1 for PowerShell is available for download on the Microsoft website if you want to check that out. Any other information, please do visit the site, microsoft.com/TNradio. We have some links for you right there. We're always looking for your questions here on TN Radio, and you're really the person who helps us develop this show. So please, drop us a line, tnradio@microsoft.com. For Kevin Remde, I'm Charlie Harger. Thanks for listening to TechNet Radio.